WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
And I'm delighted to be with you this evening. Of course, it's a abbreviated program. And so coming up at 7 o'clock, we have the candidates who are running in the 4th Plymouth District, as you may remember. That is an open seat, as Jim Cantwell did not seek re-election. He now works in the office for Senator, U.S. Senator Edward Markey. And so we got that forum coming up on Nathaniel Powell, Ed O'Connell, and Patrick Kearney. They will be here. Of course, it'll be moderated by Christine James. I will be a part of the forum as well. Plymouth correspondent, actually general assignment reporter, Charles Matheson. And we'll ask the questions that matter, including the one about Plymouth County government. Should it stay or should it go?
Better not.
Speaking of which, we have a Plymouth County Commissioner Chair, Dan Pallotta.
How you doing?
Come on, Christine. I love doing that.
Well,
it's just to make me feel
the
good.
The questions shouldn't be asked.
Why?
You should be asking, what can the county do for you? Because the county's not going away.
Okay. It's still a fun question to ask, and it's fun to get a text from you going, what are you asking that question for? What are you not?
It just puts a negative connotation on something that's not negative.
Okay. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
We're doing good. Dan is going to be my first guest. Dan and I will do a little handicapping, talk a little bit about some of the races that we have here in the South, the prominent races, and we'll get Dan's take. I was impressed with Dan's input during our primary night coverage. I thought he did a fantastic job,
along with
John Creed, your colleague on the commissioners, Greg Hanley.
Greg Hanley did a good job.
D.A. Mattel, and of course, the one who has to keep you online, Christine James, of course, making it all happen.
And Sam Sutter kept us all honest.
Sam Sutter, that's what former DA should do, is keep you honest. So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Also, we have Pastor Richard Reed, and he's part of the group of Brockton clergy who we've had on here on this program from time to time. And maybe you heard during the news, they got a big meeting, a public meeting to kind of bring folks up to speed as to what's going on with a possible another run for a casino, seeing that the Department of Interior, the U.S. Department of Interior, the Secretary, denied the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe's bid to take land into trust in Taunton. Of course, there was also a lawsuit. So there'll be a discussion tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Converge Christian Church that's on 1367 Main Street. I'm just doing that off the top of my head tonight at 7 o'clock. But Dan is going to be here joining me. We'll jump right into the races. We'll get his take on who he feels might have the edge on some of the races come the general election. But what we'll do right now is we're going to pull over the Monday Night Talk vehicle to the side of the road, the shoulder, and find out what's happening out on the roadways one last time, being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And awaiting us is Lisa DeMilo with the Violent Report. What's happening out there, Lisa?
Well, Kevin, the Expressway South is hardly moving from the tunnel down past South Bay, and then you're back in it from Furnace Brook all the way down to the split. Northbound is jammed approaching the tunnel. Route 3 South, you're on the brakes down past Union Street. 3 North is good. No problems on the bridges heading on or off Cape. And routes 24 and 44 are good. This report is brought to you by HHS's Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA. You don't have to wait for a trip to the DMV to sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. It just takes a few minutes to sign up online. Go to organdonor.gov. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DiMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
The Sergeant Chesna Memorial Golf Tournament to support the Chesna family will be held Thursday, October 18th at the Pine Hills. To volunteer, donate, sponsor, or play, contact Seth Wyatt at 774-776-5056. It's the first annual Sergeant Chesna Memorial Golf Tournament at the Pine Hills, Thursday, October 18th. Call Seth Wyatt at 774-776-5056. That's 774-776-5056 to donate, volunteer, play, or sponsor.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Stick time last week. I finally got that podcast up over the weekend. Marilyn and Tammy, as well as some of the great guests that we had, Joe Colangelo, Steve O'Neill, Jenny Johnson.
Did you expect anything less in the town of Hanover?
Well, I was expecting a late appearance by you, but it's okay. And also, I want to thank Larry and Ben, who is back here at Central, making sure that the audio was good. Folks were loving hearing Mountain Weekend, and it sounded really, really good from all the feedback that I got. So, Dan, we jump in here, and we get some interesting races, stuff that folks probably want to get kind of educated on in regards to some of these races that we have coming up. I know tonight we have one of the first forums. We're going to have many forums in the coming weeks leading up to the November 6th election. And as I said, the 4th Plymouth District, Scituate in Marshfield.
Well, if you listened on election night, I think John Creed said it the best. You know, Scituate hasn't won this seat in 71 years. Mm. Although Patrick did very well in the primary against Costello, who was from Marshfield. Mm. My edge is going with Ed O'Connell. I think Ed edges him out.
Are you discounting Nathaniel Powell?
I am discounting the independent.
Why?
Independents generally don't do well in Plymouth County, and it's just the time's not there yet for independents. You know, we have upheavals every decade or so, and it's time for a third party. This isn't the year.
It's interesting you say that, because as I was driving to the radio station to set equipment up, it seemed like it was Independence Day on Route 139 as I was going by the Mary Lou. She had Stephen Gill on the corner with his sign. And then as we got to...
They're just there to spoil the vote for somebody.
And then get to Enterprise Drive, and Nathaniel Powell had some signs up, and he was standing there with supporters. So it's interesting. I think... So you're going with Ed on this one,
I'm going with Ed.
Why is that? Well, is it strictly because haven't had someone from Scituate hold that seat?
I think that's part of it. I think mathematics, you know, elections are mathematics, and I think the mathematics is Marshfield's a larger community a vote.
When was the last time a Republican held the seat?
I don't think that's going to matter. I think a lot of it's name recognition, okay. And you have an up ballot of a lot of Republicans running this year, and I think you're going to see a lot of them go Baker. You know, I do think you're going to see a lot of them go Baker, Tedeschi down the line. I really do.
You think Tedeschi is going to beat?
I think Tedeschi has a path to win, and we haven't had that in a while. Okay. And I don't know whether he has enough to cross the line with the big cities, but if the vote comes out in the suburbs, he has a path to win.
And again, Peter Tedeschi is the Republican who is challenging the incumbent, the Democrat, Bill Keating, Congressman Bill Keating.
And there aren't... There,
for the 9th Congressional.
In this county, there aren't a lot of people that are jumping up and down for Warren. You know, they may be Democrat, but, you know, you ask them, how do you like...
You're like all over the place.
It's the same concept. I think you're going to see a lot of that.
So you're saying there's going to be a red wave come election day?
In Plymouth County, there's always a red wave.
Okay. So, all right, so you're just saying Plymouth County. You're not necessarily saying across the Commonwealth here.
Deal's got a tough road to victory to beat Elizabeth Warren. But it feels an awful lot like the Brown race, where people didn't vote for Brown. They voted against Coakley.
Mm.
And, you know...
Well, she had, according to polls, and again, that was a special election.
I understand.
And polls, you know, a couple of weeks out said that she had a lead going into the special election and lost by a couple...
The same pollster said that Donald Trump was going to get trounced by Hillary. I mean, that fact of the matter is, you don't know what the people are going to do when they get in there.
Well, polls,
people are reluctant to talk on the phone now. They think that the government's listening. I mean, I'm serious. I don't trust any polls anymore. I really don't.
Okay, getting a thumbs up from my producer Ben. He seems to agree with you. Let's kind of jump right back in. A couple other races that we're going to be looking at here locally. Incumbent Dave DeCoste, representing the 5th Plymouth District, being challenged by a write-in. This was one of three write-ins that we had here locally. Here, Allison DeMung, who is a Norwell selectman.
Allison DeMung's a Norwell selectman. She's a wonderful lady. She's nice. Dave edges her too, although she's going to give Dave a run for his money. I think Dave edges it in the end. I think she's going to split the vote in Norwell. Dave's going to take Hanover by a significant amount, and he'll edge closer than he did in Rockland, and the last time it'll be enough to just cross the line.
Are there any interesting issues in that particular district that could tilt it one way or the other, or do you feel that it's kind of this nut?
That's another
other
one.
Than
Hanover had that seat for decades, and it's interesting that this time around we have two people from Norwell in the finals, so it's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Okay. And we also have Kathy Lenatra, another selectman. She in the town of Kingston, going against Joe Tricelli, who was the Republican who came out victorious over Summer Schmeling in the primary.
Yeah, and you know, I never thought Summer had a chance, so much for my prognosticating. But she did unbelievably well. She worked really hard. I'd love to see Joe take the seat. He's running against the machine of, you know, Tom and Tom, and I think you're going to
Now, wait a minute, folks. That's like a inside baseball. So who's Tom and Tom?
Well, Tom O'Brien held the seat, and Tom Calta held the seat. They're both from Kingston.
Both Democrats.
Both Democrats, yeah. And Kathy's from Kingston. So there's that whole machine working for Kathy. But North Plymouth gets a little stronger with each election because it's growing. And so, I mean, there's a path for Joe to get there, but he really has to work really hard.
Does name recognition, though, again, knowing that he just came off of a primary victory, that's still kind of fresh in everybody's mind. And knowing that the folks were voting for Tom Calter for all these years, and it's a new name as a Democrat, it's an interesting district, as well as how it's spread out, including the great town of Plimpton.
It's got Plimpton, it's got Middle, it's got Oak Point there in Middleborough, it's got all of Kingston, a piece of
Plymouth in there,
Plymouth and Halifax. So it's a spread out district. I mean, whoever wins that district's going to be out for the rest of their life doing school committee and selectman meetings, as opposed to Plymouth, where
getting
you only
around.
Have to go to one. So it's a tough district. Joe's a veteran. Joe works really hard.
Mm.
Kathy's a selectman, and I think Joe's path is tougher than Kathy's.
I actually had her on the program not too long ago. And her intention is, if she's successful, she's going to hold on to her selectman seat. Is that possible? Is that plausible?
I think when a selectman when a state rep gets involved in local issues, it's always problematic. I don't think it's a good idea. And she may say that out of the gate, and after a couple of months, realize it's too much, and complete the cycles till we get to the next election. So, whatever her reasoning is, she has the right to do it.
Let's take a look at a couple of more state rep races. This one, the 3rd Plymouth District. This is basically a rematch. A rematch of 2 years ago.
Kristen's been running since the day that election ended. She's working her tail off. And
is that a bad thing, though?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think she crosses the line this time. I do. It's
gonna Why? What is different that she would cross the line? Because I would think that you'd have to, as an incumbent, Joe Moschino is the incumbent, the Democrat. What missteps has she made in order for her to lose the seat?
Her votes. You know, her votes are a little more to the left than the district. Even Hull, I mean, a little more to the left of left. So I see Kristen edging her out.
Okay. And you're being honest here, because I know
I am a Republican. You do have an R next to your name. That way. So
do you lean all the way, or are you somewhere?
No, when there's a good Democrat, I vote for the Democrat.
Here's another race that you and I recently having a conversation, and you kind of pointed it out. This is for the Plymouth first Plymouth District. Matt Muratore, who is the Republican and incumbent, taking on John Mahoney, Democrat. He is a sitting selectman in Plymouth, and that. You look 2 years ago, this is a race that was, it was a close race at the end of the night. You're like, wow, the margin wasn't that wide in regards to the victory that Matt Muratore had.
And Matt Muratore has only gotten stronger, and John Mahoney's only gotten weaker, and I think Matt Muratore takes the seat. I think Matt's going to have to work hard because the demographics there. But, you know, who doesn't love Matt Muratore? I mean, he's just a lovable guy. He's like Senator DiMaceto. Who doesn't love Vinny? Vinny's going to have a race, too. We might as well metamorphose to Rudolph. That district runs all the way down to Falmouth.
Sure.
And, you know, Vinny's challenge is the Falmouth leg. It's not going to be the Plymouth side.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, is this...
But Vinny's going to win, too.
When we had Deb here for the political forum with Stephen Michael Palmer, I felt she was an impressive candidate. She was impressive, was on top of things with, not to say that Vinny isn't. Vinny, again, is somebody who, you know, he graduated from being a state rep to being a state senator, mm-hmm. and has spent a lot of years up the state house, knows his way around, knows people.
But he also works really hard for his district, and
absolutely.
He brings home things for the district. And the average things he's brought back have touched a lot of voters. I think, and that's not just Plymouth. That's his Senate district. I think you're going to see Vinny back.
Okay, we'll mark that one off. Check that one off, because what we're going to do is the election,
you're
going to
see how
I'm going to have
good
you back in and go, Dan.
When?
What about this one, Dan?
When?
There'll be a few L's.
No way.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Okay. That confident, huh?
I'm that confident.
Wow. Okay. We'll see how right you are.
I hope I'm not the kiss of death to some of these guys.
We got coming up later, hopefully later on in October, we're hoping to have Tim Cruz in. Tim Cruz, the Republican incumbent, the Plymouth County District Attorney. And he's facing John Bradley, who actually had quite the steep hill to climb to get 1,000 votes.
Write-in
votes. It wasn't like his brother.
The reason he needed 1,000 is because to get on the ballot, you need 1,000. So, you know, for Allison,
around the country,
she had to get 150. I think she got 500 or 600, but she had to get 150 in three towns. He did climb a pretty big mountain to get on the ballot, but Tim Cruz is a pretty formidable foe. And, you know, if you've ever seen Tim speak, there's nobody more dedicated to law enforcement in the county than Tim Cruz. He cares. He's out there pounding away day after day on the opioids, on the criminals, on the murderers. He's the man, and you can see it when he speaks in his passion.
But
people are going to vote for it.
But there have been some headlines out of that office in regards to a lawsuit that was settled by Mr. Bradley, and questions in regards to how you know how things are conducted in the office. Again, these are reports. This is stuff that was reported that, you know, unless you paid into the district attorney's campaign, well then you know.
not buying it. The average person's not going to buy it.
Okay.
Tim's squeaky clean.
I'm just saying these are reports that were out there.
He's
not recently, he's but we're talking.
He's the real deal without being Jeff Deal. When it comes to law enforcement, he's the real deal.
Is that possible?
It's possible to have two real deals in one county.
Okay. But it won't be D-I-E-H-L, but it'll be D-E-A-L. interestingly enough, again, talking about write-ins, so we could kind of say it in the same breath, sibling of Tim Cruz, John Cruz, successful in being able to get on the ballot for the 10th Plymouth District, taking on the incumbent, the Democrat, Michelle Dubois. I actually, during a primary night, was able to get information from just West Bridgewater. And it was interesting to see that folks were so energized that John was doing a writing campaign. They were writing him in all over the place, even for Dogcatcher.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
I mean,
there was confusion that they actually wanted him to, you know, be running for certain other seats.
I think people were really glad someone was running against Dubois because of her behavior with immigration and ICE and just unbecoming of law enforcement.
Well, that and with some state representatives who are going to be held accountable, you know, coming back in office at the beginning of the legislative session and voting yourself in a pay raise, and there will be state representatives, there will be incumbents who will be held accountable for that.
Right, and you know, Dave DeCoste didn't take his pay raise.
What did he do with it?
I don't know what he did with it, but I know he didn't take it. I think he donated it to charity, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'll make sure I make a note of that to ask during one of our political forums.
I am quite certain that
Dave, what did you
do the research.
Okay. Good, definitely good to know. So what comes of this particular race between Michelle Dubois? Would John have enough? Because, again, this is a rematch of 4 years ago. When it was an open seat, Christine Canavan walked away. Michelle came in with, you know, it was Paul Beckner. You had Larry Curtis and Peggy Curtis, who was a part of it, running. Michelle, a part of it. She won it. And then you had...
Can a Republican win in Brockton?
Well, did back in 1991.
All right.
Right?
So can a Republican win? So if the answer to the question is yes, a Republican can win in Brockton, John Cruz will be the only one that can do it.
Here's your
point. But it's a tough thing.
Well, here's the problem I will give you on this race is that Michelle Dubois comes from Ward 6.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was a sitting city councilor, Ward 6 was her ward, and she never lost. She always would have double-digit victories.
Right.
And that's part of the 10th Plymouth District. Knowing that I covered it 4 years ago, I won't forget when John was up large. John was up, I want to say, we had got early numbers from the one precinct in East Bridgewater and all of West Bridgewater. John had a sizable lead. I want to say it was like 1,600 votes. He had 1,600 votes. We were waiting for Brockton. And she basically erased the deficit and ended up winning by close to 500 votes.
So the question, you're answering your own question.
Yeah.
So are there enough people angry in Brockton over her behavior? And if the answer is yes, she's going to lose. If the answer is no, they like the fact that she's doing what she's doing, she's going to be returned. I think the good people of Brockton can see through it.
Here's the problem. You mentioned Jeff Deal earlier. You talk about a guy who campaigned his fanny off, running against Mike Brady for that state Senate seat.
Yeah, but that's that. You're talking to someone who ran against Greg Hanley just this 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I think I won 20 towns, and I lost like 10,000 votes or 8,000 votes to him, and it was Brockton. Brockton, I think I got 5,000 votes, and he got like 35,000 votes.
It's a Democratic stronghold.
It's a Democratic stronghold. This one's a little different because of the controversy. Do the people remember the controversy? If Cruz can keep bringing up that controversy and it comes back to the conscious, Cruz is going to win. If he doesn't get that message across, it's just going to be another Democratic victory.
Okay. Duly noted here. Right. Another interesting race. This is for an open seat. Allison Sullivan, daughter of Mike Sullivan, facing Alex Bezanson, former Abington selectman, served in other capacities in the town of Abington. Talk to me about this. This is for Jeff Deals, former district.
This is a really interesting race because Alex Bezanson is from Abington, and there's a selectman Bezanson from Whitman.
Yep.
So the name Bezanson's in two of the major towns. But Allison's coming from a machine.
It's
the same issue you have in the Trucelli Lenatra, except for it's not a family member. So you can imagine how much harder that machine's working for a family member.
Yep.
So I have to think that Allison's going to have a good night.
I think the battleground will be Abington. Both of them did well during the primary. Both Alex and Allison did exceptionally well. I mean, she easily beat her opponent in the primary. And Alex, I think, had he won by a little more than 300 votes over Kevin Higgins. So it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening. If in fact, and I know that the Democrats in the district are like, oh, let's flip this seat. But again, Allison Sullivan is, I've had a chance to interview her a couple of times, and you know, it's going to be.
She grew up in a political family. She knows the deal.
Absolutely. So it's going to be interesting to see how these.
It's going to be interesting to see whether Alex can overcome that, and clearly it's possible. There's a path for him to do it, but I give the edge to Allison.
Okay. All right. So we got a couple of minutes left here, and we can kind of launch into our little lightning round here of other races that we'll probably watch. You mentioned it earlier in regards to the U.S. Senate race with incumbent Elizabeth Warren, Democrat, looking to be reelected. Jeff Deal, who's been campaigning for a year and a half, out and about with his RV. This is a guy who he's used to being the David versus Goliath. You look at the whole gas tax initiative.
So I looked at the Jeff Deal race in the primary, and I only got one piece of paper from him. He ran the majority of that race on social media, and he smoked Kingston. Kingston ran the traditional race with paper and mailers and so on and so forth. I think if Jeff can continue that statewide and get that kind of exposure, I think he's got a path to victory. Would I predict he's going to win? Only because I'm a Republican will I say he's going to win by 0.5%.
See, I'm going to say that I don't think the National Party is going to let Elizabeth Warren lose. I think they're going to throw as much money at this race as
possible. The National Party,
they don't want.
If you read all the books, the National Party's broke. So I don't count on zillions of dollars being spent. Don't count on it. All they care about is getting rid of Trump. They don't care. They don't care about anything.
But do you think that they want to see Elizabeth Warren going in as
Elizabeth Warren has enough money now.
Former U.S. senator or as a sitting? What's going to be more beneficial to the Democrats?
Of course, as a sitting.
Okay.
Of course.
All right.
Because if she loses, she's out.
So isn't it worth the party mortgaging their future to get her in 2020?
If the party's banking their future on Elizabeth Warren, the party's over.
Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about Charlie Baker.
Baker walks in.
I go over Jay Itz.
So he's going to walk in.
Very popular governor.
Everybody loves Charlie Baker.
Everybody loves him.
He's going to walk in.
But what about the Scott Lively vote? What was that a message? I mean,
The Scott Lively vote was the conservative side of the party saying, Charlie, step it up. That's all that was. Nobody wanted Scott Lively. They just wanted Charlie
send
a message to Charlie. You know, the conservatives want a little more.
They're trying to pull
them
back,
wet their beak.
Pull them over to the right a little bit more?
Yeah, they're trying to wet their beak a little more.
Wet their beak a little bit more. Worthy of talking, Healy and McMahon?
Unfortunately, I think Healy wins.
Okay. Do you feel that there's any real chance for McMahon to do anything?
I don't see it.
No? Okay. Well, Bump and Helen Brady.
I think Bump wins.
Really?
I do. Name Why? Recognition. No one knows what the auditor does. By the time they get to that far on the ballot, they're tired. The only thing missing here is a county commissioner. By then, you don't even know what they're going to do.
Okay, we've been here with Dan Pallotta, chair of the Plymouth County Commissioners. You're just kind of talking about some of the races that you may see on the ballot come November 6th. And, of course, we here at 95.9 WATD will do our best to bring you political forums and coverage of these candidates where they stand on the issues. Let's throw this two last ones at you. Deb Goldberg, treasurer, state treasurer, Democrat incumbent against outgoing state rep, Keiko Orrell.
Love Keiko. She'd make an unbelievable treasurer.
But is she going to be able to beat Deb Goldberg?
I think you're going to see the attorney general, auditor, and the treasurer stay Dem.
Okay. And then question one, this is an interesting one in regards to nurses and staffing. How do you feel that's going to go? What's your thoughts on it? I mean, because you hear the ads.
Well, you hear the ads, they're confusing. And all I can remember is President Obama saying that let the government take over your health care. You can keep your doctor. And we all know what happened there. So I'm hoping that the people can see that any time that the government gets involved in health care, it's a disaster. So I'm hoping the no's win. But I really, I can't gauge which way it's going because all you see are no signs. You haven't seen the yes signs yet. So, and you know they're coming. They're coming at some point in time. Plus, all the world's coming to an end if you don't add nurses to the hospitals. But, you know, the no's have it right. You know, let the nurses make the decision on your care. If they, you know, anytime you have the government involved in anything, they screw it up.
Anything you want to say in closing as we get ready to wrap up this segment? Again,
thank you for having me. And
yes, Dan, you have been had.
Thank you for having me.
And we thank you for.
I have 100% correct prediction, you can have me back as
like a co-host, like you did tonight,
like sort a of? Co-host.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Ben and I will consider. We'll consider your request. But what we're going to do, we're going to step aside just for a couple of moments. And when we come back, I'm going to chat with Pastor Richard Reed before he goes into a meeting that he's going to be having at the top of the hour and get his take as to what's going on with the whole the casino possibility that Region C, the Mass Gaming Commission, could be considering whether they should reopen it and if the city of Brockton might have a second opportunity, a second bite at that apple. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
It breaks my heart to think about all the people who have lost a loved one in this opioid epidemic. For me, it's personal. I'm David Soper from Hanson. My nephew Steven died too soon because of a fentanyl overdose. When Steven's dad and I wanted to make sure his tragic life had real meaning, one of the first calls we made was to District Attorney Tim Cruz. Tim Cruz has been a tireless champion for legislation so families won't have to know this terrible pain.
Paid for by the committee to re-elect Tim Cruz.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time.
My boyfriend is so romantic. He brought me to Hull Gut at twilight to watch the jets come in right over his pickup. All the lights, the roar of the engines, I just swooned. A fisherman landed a striped bass, snapped back the rod, the lure, and the bass slapped up against the windshield. He was so apologetic, he gave us the fish.
I'm Peter from Tiny and Sons Glass. Striped bass broke your windshield? 1-888-64-TINIES. And here's a little tip. Sprinkle a little maple syrup on top of that striped bass. See how it tastes.
The Sergeant Chesna Memorial Golf Tournament to support the Chesna family will be held Thursday, October 18th at the Pine Hills. To volunteer, donate, sponsor, or play, contact Seth Wyatt at 774-776-5056. It's the first annual Sergeant Chesna Memorial Golf Tournament at the Pine Hills, Thursday, October 18th. Call Seth Wyatt at 774-776-5056. That's 774-776-5056 to donate, volunteer, play, or sponsor.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we're just a few moments away from holding one of our first political forums leading up to the general election on November 6th, of course, moderated by WATD's managing news editor, Christine James. But right now we have, joining us on the phone lines for a couple of moments, is Pastor Richard Reed. And I believe that he is the pastor of the North Baptist Church in Brockton. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct, and also one of the leaders of Stand Up for Brockton.
There you go. And so we know now, as I was able to report last week, that the Department of Interior actually is, they actually put forth a decision in regards to the Mashpee Wampanoag's request to take land into trust. And a lot of folks who are watching this situation seem to think that this could spell an opportunity for another community in the southeastern region, I think it's Region C in Massachusetts, to possibly seek that open gaming license. Because the idea was, when the city of Brockton was put forth their application and they were the finalist, one of the things that the Mass Gaming Commission said when they took their vote was that because the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe was going to have potentially that casino, they didn't see a need for yet another one. But now that this has been basically thwarted and turned aside by the Department of Interior, and that there was a lawsuit by East Taunton residents, that was basically a victory for them because they had actually put forth a lawsuit. Give me your thoughts on what's happening. I believe coming up, the Mass Gaming Commission is going to be meeting next week. Talk to us about the importance of that meeting.
Yes, the Gaming Commission will be meeting very shortly about the application they received from Rush Street Gaming and MG&E about reopening their casino application that was rejected back in April 2016. And of course, their interpretation of this is that the decision by the Department of Interior really just solidifies this, that hey, let's go for Brockton once again with the same presentation, the same proposal that we had back then that was rejected, because we think it's the only reason it was rejected. But the Gaming Commission clearly have stated that it was just one of many factors that led to that particular decision. And the fact that the Department of Interior has made the decision they have is not the end of this, because right now both of the Massachusetts senators are getting things done in Washington, and the State House in Boston is working on legislation that will give the land to the tribe so that they can have their casinos. So they have people in their corner. But it's also interesting that the attorneys for the people that challenged it were fully funded by Neil Bloom and Rush Street Gaming. So, do I want a casino in Taunton? No, I don't want one there. I don't want one in Brockton because it's not good for the city, particularly because they haven't changed the location. It's going to be still next to Brockton High. And here's the real reality of life. Rush Street Gaming has not changed. The same violations that we brought up 2 years ago, they're still guilty of. They have more offenses of underage gambling than we can even count. This is a real problem. And again, putting it next to the high school, underage gambling will be a real problem here in Brockton. It's just something that we cannot have, we cannot tolerate. Even MGM that just opened up 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago in Springfield, they have had a rash of underage gaming problems there. Hmm. It's public news out there already, and the Gaming Commission is aware of it. We can't have this happen in Brockton.
So you and I had a kind of an off-the-air conversation prior to having this interview. And one of the things that you enlightened me to is that there's a little bit of an issue with the gaming law that is on the books in regards to an application that was rejected. Could you kind of give us a little background on that?
Yes, even the Gaming Commission is well aware of this because they're the ones that have to use the gaming law and to follow it. And there is no provision in the existing law in Massachusetts for a rejected application to be to reapply with the same application that was rejected and get the casino license, in particularly in Region C, where there is no license been issued yet. And again, part of this problem is that, you know, again, it's just not in the law, so the Gaming Commission doesn't know what to do and how to handle it at this point. It's going to be a very delicate thing. There will be a public hearing sponsored by the Gaming Commission in Brockton sometime this fall regarding this issue, but they're debating, do we have to reopen this and consider other companies that may want to come to Regency and literally start this thing over from scratch?
I see. The one thing that I would be curious about is, again, you're talking about the casino, the MGM that opened up in Springfield. We have the one, the Plains Ridge, that is in the Plainville-Wrentham corridor. And then we're talking about there's going to be a casino opening up, what, in the Everett-Boston area. Do we really need a third casino? Would it not be best and beneficial for the state, because the state is going to be reaping revenue from these, from that those gaming licenses? Wouldn't it be best to see how those operate, and if they're operating at capacity and not basically flooding the market and diluting any revenue that they're going to gain from it? Now, I know, again, the conversation that we've had is if you could prefer, you'd prefer that there weren't any. But where this is on the books, and if this is something that was put forth as a revenue generator, I think I would, as a state official, I'd want to kind of keep an eye on what's operating currently in the state before I add to that. Wouldn't you think so?
I would agree. To be fiscally responsible, yes, as a, you know, a state representative or a state official, you know, let's make sure what we've already deployed out there is working and generating the income that we anticipate. The reality is, with Rush Street Gaming, that at the same time they were trying to bring one to Brockton, they were bringing a casino to Schenectady, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the same pitch, that it would be a destination casino. But reports are coming out of Schenectady that it's not a destination casino. Mm-hmm. It's a convenience casino for the people of the area. There's a report that just came out that says their slot use is rising, but the table games are, and here's their terms, flat or declining.
Mm.
And so it's not become the destination casino that they promised. And so that's exactly what would happen here in Brockton. Now, besides Everett opening up in whatever, a year, year and a half,
correct,
MGM in Springfield now open, Twin Rivers in Rhode Island has expanded. They closed their Newport, and they moved Newport Casino. They moved it up to Tiverton, exactly 400 yards from the Massachusetts border, within minutes of where the Taunton Casino would be, a few more minutes, another 20 minutes away from Brockton. That casino is already open and running. This area is saturated. We do not need it anymore. The only loss is local here, in the sense that the city of Brockton doesn't gain any revenues from any of these places.
In closing, and again, we have to wrap up because our political forum's coming up in just a few moments. And I thank you very much for your time. If there are listeners who are tuned in right now who want to attend the upcoming meeting of the Mass Gaming Commission, or they want to get involved with your efforts, Pastor. And again, we're speaking with Pastor Richard Reed, and we've been talking about a couple of different things casino-related, the city of Brockton, what's going on down in Taunton with the Mashpee Wampanoag tribes. Pastor, if there's information, please feel free to share it at this point in time.
The best thing to do is to go to massgaming.com and get the information for their meeting, where it's going to be. As of right now, they haven't said exactly where it's going to be, but it'll probably be in their facilities in Boston, or if they anticipate a large crowd, at one of the convention halls. So massgaming.com, and look at the new meetings, and that will tell you exactly where it's going to be. Be there and be supportive of Stand Up for Brockton. And you can check our Facebook page, Stand Up for Brockton, and nocasinoinregency.info.
I got to thank you very much, Pastor. Again, you've been a great somebody that we've had great conversations with, whether it was about adult recreational marijuana, which I know is moving forward. And I'm going to say in closing, I was very impressed at you being at the pot forum that they had at the Iron Owen School. And while you were not in support of such a move forward and was looking for a referendum vote, you offered up some very valid points and ideas if this is going to move forward. And it shows that you're a man that if you may not agree with something, but you're still willing to give constructive criticism to help at least be part of the community.
Yeah, sitting there and fighting over it is not going to solve the problems.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Pastor, we want to thank you very much for being a guest this evening, and we look forward to hearing more from you on this issue.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, so that's going to do it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk, and as the case is going to be moving forward, now we're going to have one other time slot, or maybe two other time slots, up before the general election, October 15th, and I think November 5th. Those might be times that we may have more time for talk, and we won't be doing political forums. Other than that, coming up in just a couple of moments, a WATD political forum with the candidates running the 4th Plymouth District. You have Ed O'Connell, your Republican candidate. You have Patrick Kearney, the Democrat, and Nathaniel Powell, independent candidate. And, of course, Christine James will be your moderator, and myself and Charles Matheson will be the reporters. They'll be part of the whole process coming up in just a couple of moments right here on 95.9 WATD. You have been listening to Monday Night Talk.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Boston, and 95.9 WATD.com.